Chapter 37. Location: Nimbus's World. Nimbus wanted to leave at first light, but his directions were all screwed up, and he kept turning around and forgetting his way to Utah. His head was full of the fuzzy brain things, and none of them were filtering information properly. "Whatever happened to me last night was not what I expected," Nimbus said. "How does a human being do that so often?" Nimbus drifted, and his thoughts turned from the night before to wondering why becoming a human was so important. Was Archangel Raphael right? Are the humans too complicated, and would he be able to handle being one? As he paused to review the directions to find Merlin, he saw a strange beeping red light coming towards him. He thought it might be one of the countless satellites that were causing havoc in the sky. There are just so many cell towers and satellites these days, sending waves into every direction. If only they could color all of them with a blue laser beam so they could see the billions of rays crisscrossing all over the world. Maybe they could understand why time is speeding up with the Earth in a microwave state. To Nimbus, the sky looked like tangled yarns of thread, pulled across and spread out thin over the whole world. It was worse than any spider web or alien matrix, as far as he was concerned. Nimbus refocused his attention as the noise got louder and the light got brighter. It wasn't man-made, but it was looking more like the shape of a woman that was pulsating. The closer it got, the more he could understand the noise. It was a language that was familiar to him. In fact, it was very familiar, like he had heard the phrases 1,000 times. As the entity approached, Nimbus was sure it was an alien, intelligent life form, but not acting all that intelligent. It looked more like an extraterrestrial bag lady. The closer it got, the more he could understand the noise. It was a language that was familiar to him. In fact, it was very familiar, like he had heard the phrases 1,000 times. As the entity approached, Nimbus was sure it was an alien, intelligent life form, but not acting all that intelligent. It looked more like an extraterrestrial bag lady. The strange red beeping light was in an hourglass shape. It had carrot red hair, bright pink lips, and heavily made-up purple eyes behind orange sparkle heart-shaped Elton John glasses. "Who are you? What are you? What do you want?" Nimbus said with concern.
"Don't have a cow or get your knickers in a twist," she voiced in a high-pitched monotone.
"I'm a cloud and don't wear knickers."
"Every cloud has a silver lining, and there's always a calm before a storm."
Nimbus was seeing the face frown and smile in sync with her statements. Seriously, who are you?" Nimbus was trying not to expand and bounce around. "Maybe this is something I need to avoid at all costs."
"Good as it gets. My name is Cliché, but I am thinking someone is scared out of his wits or woke up on the wrong side of the bed."
I don't sleep in beds, but I have had some difficult times, and I am pretty nervous about it lately."
"Time heals all wounds."
"I'm not wounded, but I am pretty frustrated and confused."
"When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. This too shall pass."
"I've heard that one," Nimbus said, watching as her head rotated around her body. My name is Nimbus, and I'm looking for Utah. Would you know what direction I should be heading?"
"It looks like you're heading in the right direction. You look fit as a fiddle, without a care in the world. So hitch your wagon to a star and dance the night fandango."
Nimbus was starting to find this whole experience hilarious and started to laugh. The absurdity of this entity was helping him lighten up. Was all of life an idiom? He laughed again.
Laughter is the best medicine.
Okay, thanks, Nimbus said, starting to spin. Then added, need to move it or lose it.
Now you're getting the drift. What goes around comes around.
Cliche's red hair started to blow in all directions from Nimbus's movement.
Better get a move on it if the spirit moves you.
Right as rain, and have a nice day. All for one and one for all, he shouted through his centrifugal wind.
Only time will tell,
Cliche said as Nimbus spun off with great speed.
All's well that ends well.
Oh, I sure hope so, Nimbus said. But I can't help but feel the handwriting's on the wall. It took a moment for Nimbus to stop his spin and review what had just happened. And was there a reason? Maybe he had been hallucinating. He was still feeling pretty groggy from the night before. What a total weird experience, Nimbus blurted out. I wonder if Michael knows about those strange things in the atmosphere that keep showing up when I least expect it. What was the point of her? Nimbus worked hard to get his head out of his cloudy brain. As soon as he focused on finding Merlin, his mind started rotating like Cliche's. Suddenly, he was off in the right direction. In fact, his mind was going so fast, he started picking up speed. At one point, he was as thin and strung out as a long contrail and had to slow down to let the rest of him catch up. He didn't want to get ahead of himself. As he approached Utah, he needed to stay under the cloud patrol radar. Since he was a lone cumulus cloud out in the middle of nowhere, and if they saw him, they would think him lost and stop and help him. He headed for the rock formations and drifted in and out of the tall spires of sandstone that had eroded into what looked like tall soldiers. No doubt the Utah landscape was captivating. He saw Zion off in the distance and turned right. Zion National Park was awe-inspiring. Nimbus couldn't believe he had never noticed it before when floating by. But then, he had never been close enough or had any reason to go there. He watched two rock climbers scale the face of one of the tall sedimentary rock formations. He gazed at the old river that wound its way down through the canyon. Some hikers were knee-deep in water going up what they called the Narrows. A sign read, Danger, and was posted at the Narrows entrance. The sign warned of freak thunderstorms that could occur at any time, causing flash floods. How could a bunch of cumulus clouds do such a thing? Nimbus asked. Then he thought of Anvil and Bubba's gang and shook his head. As he floated over a tall spire called Angel's Landing, he looked around for angels, but only hikers who had made it to the top were sitting and taking in the spectacular view. That's a good idea, he said, observing the different sections of linked chain secured to the rocks at the most difficult parts of the climb. I bet those chains save lives. A condor family was soaring around, gliding from one rock perch to another. The mother came within a few feet of a climber videotaping her movements. It was a beautiful sight, but Nimbus decided to avoid them. He didn't want to get separated from himself. Not today. Even though Merlin was nowhere to be seen, Nimbus enjoyed the area and could understand why it was a national park. Since he was the only cloud in the sky, he was happy to be alone in Zion. But he remembered his mission to find Merlin. The snowy canyon was his next stop.